armed services there in Litnik. Mm-hmm. They used to go there for dances or something, and when coming home, their skiff with their outboard motor, it was rough. Fagnek faces the ocean, you know, and they drowned. Johnny's wife, she was a Grigoryev, but she wasn't related to me. She was another Grigoryev. I don't remember all the girls. Susan Grigoryev. But, oh, I was going to tell you. I'm trying to think of so many things that I'm going blank. Maybe you can ask me some questions.
Okay, well, maybe just for the recording, I can say that this is December 17th, 1998. Mm-hmm. We're interviewing Marie Painter in West Seattle. First of all, could you tell us when and where you were born?
I was born in Afognak, Alaska, in a little house next to my grandmother, Gladys's mother. Gladys is my aunt. That family was 13. They had 13 children, and my mother was the oldest. Her name was Catherine Grigoryev. She was married to Fritz Lorentzen. My midwife was Babushka Pereskovia. She was midwife to most of the children who were born in Afognak. She's the sweetest lady. Everyone, when they met her, had to go hug her, you know. We lived in Afognak. In 1918, my father already had the Fox Farm on Bear Island. So there was five of us. I was the oldest, and then my brother, Rudy, Sister Catherine, Sister Betty, and Sister Frida were all born on Bear Island, Alaska, B-A-R-E. That would be in Kupiana Straits. Are you familiar with Kupiana Straits?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
then I didn't start school until I was 8 years old, because my father kept us home until he had a house built in Afognak. So three of us would start school at the same time. I skipped 1 year because I could already read by then. My mother was teaching me. And she never had that much education. I think she dropped out of school she's in the fourth grade in Afognak, because her mother was having so many children. She had to be the second mother to the kids that were born. I couldn't name all of them, but anyway, there was 13 of them.
What was your birth date?
What was my birthday?
Mm-hmm.
August 6th, 1918. I was married when I was 18 to George Hoffman.
Was that in Afognak?
We got married in Kodiak. We went to the Justice of the Peace, Judge Naughton. I think there's some Naughtons up in Kodiak yet.
Yes.
Then my cousin, Carl Pyoman, his father had a herring saltery plant in Raspberry Straits. When I got married, that's where my husband and I, we lived there for 5 years as watchmen. We lived there year-round. My two boys were there. Then we came down to Seattle in 1941, November 7th. And December 7th, Pearl Harbor was hit. So So I've lived here ever since. My two boys live here. They're married and have families. Two wonderful, wonderful boys I'm proud of. Oh. Then George and I were divorced during the Second World War, and I was single for 4 years. I could write a book. Then I married a Swedish boy. His name was Wacko Lindback. He died in 1958 here in Seattle. Then I was single for 4 more years. Then I met Van, and we got married in 1963. And we're still married. Van works part-time downtown. I also work part-time.
You do? Uh-huh.
I've retired from 3 different jobs, more than that, I guess. I used to work part-time when I was married to Lindy during Christmas or Easter in the stores when they needed extra help. But for 22 years, I drove special ed bus. I took children to special ed children, the deaf and hard of hearing. That was a life. I enjoyed driving, and I enjoyed the children. I always liked kids. I retired from that after 1 year when we had all this snow, and I was down on the downtown in the busy street trying to fix the chains on my tires. They were flopping and making so much noise. I thought, what am I doing? This has to stop. This is going to be my last year of driving school buses. I love the kids, but the driving was getting... Seattle traffic is terrible now. As you know, it's just too many cars. And when I first started driving, it used to take me, let's say, for example, a distance of 15 minutes. Then it took me like half hour. You know, we were going so slow on account of the traffic.
What do you remember about going to school in Afognak?
Afognak. Oh. Well, we had a 3-room schoolhouse, and we walked in the snow and the ice. I don't remember how many children there were at the school, but we had the first grades, like first, second, third, then you went to intermediate, what they called, and then there was a higher grade of the kids who were in the 8th and 9th and 10th, and that's as far as the grades went in Afognak. Well, at recess we used to go, there was a little hill by the school, we'd go sliding down this on sleds or on boards or paper. Christmas time, they always put on a program. It was like Christmas, you know. I was always in it, you know. Then I think Louise has a picture of us doing some minuet dance with Mickey, you know, Marie Vancilli. We always called her Mickey. I don't think I have any pictures of that, and I have some pictures of the schoolhouse in the Afognak, the old schoolhouse. They built a new schoolhouse in Aleutown. I don't know if you, where the graveyard was and the church, you, toward, facing Letnik was that section of town was called Aleutown. This is where the Sheratines lived. I have some pictures of boys and girls in Afognak. I'll show them to you maybe after we're doing through with this.
Do you remember who your teachers were?
My first teacher was Enola Vancilli. My second, well, maybe she taught me 2 years. Then I had a Miss Qualls, Q-U-A-L-L-S. Then there was Benson's. Now, this is Mr. Benson. He and his wife went bear hunting. This is his wife, and she's in her 90s. she was also my teacher. She lives in California somewhere. A couple of years ago, she was trying to contact her old pupils. She wrote to Rudy and to Betty. I never did write back to her. I'm sorry. Then there was a teacher called Puett. For 1 year, he taught. He was there by himself. Then the second year, his wife came, Marion Puett. Those were my last teachers, I think.
What was that last name?
Puett. P-U-E-T-T. I don't remember what his first name. We all called him Mr. Puett. Mr. and Mrs. Puett. When he was there by himself, he lived in a... The Tellens had a big house, and there was a big family, and they had an L-shaped house, and the L-shaped house was an apartment.
Armed services there?
Teachers usually lived there.
Mm-hmm. They used to go there for dances or something, and when coming home,
this house, the boys would chop wood for him.
Outboard motor.
And
it was rough.
Fogneck
faces the ocean, you know. They drowned.
I remember mashing potatoes. Johnny's wife, corned beef hash. You know,
she was a Grigoriev, but she wasn't related to me. She was another Grigoriev.
Put it in the oven with crumbs.
I don't remember all the girls.
Susan,
onions, Grigoriev.
It's good. I still make it.
Oh, I was going to tell you. I'm trying to think of so many things that I'm going blank. Maybe you can ask me some questions.
Okay, well, maybe just for the recording, I can say that this is December 17th, 1998.
And I only went to the ninth grade.
We're interviewing Marie Painter.
My brother and I went to live on the island with my father and my grandmother.
First of all, could you tell us when and where you were born?
I was born in Afognak, Alaska. In a little house next to my grandmother, Gladys's mother. Gladys is my aunt.
My grandmother, her name was Marie Elizabeth.
That family was 13.
I was
they had 13 children, and my mother was the oldest.
And
her name was Catherine Gregoria. She was married to Fritz Lawrence.
What do you remember about how the village was laid out, and where did you live?
Well, we lived in the middle of...
My midwife was Babushka Periskulia. She was midwife to most of the children who were born in
Afognak. The open
ocean. She's the sweetest lady.
You could see Marmot Island.
Everyone, when they met her, had to go hug her.
Way out there,
you know.
That would be the northeast side.
See, we lived in
the length of Afognak.
In 1918, my father already had the fox farm on Bear Island.
The theme about the history of Afognak. And if you really want to know, it's published in
the
Fin Science Monitor. And if you go to the library, you might find it.
Sister Catherine.
Do you remember what year that was?
Sister Betty and Sister Frida. We're all born on Bear Island, Alaska.
I think it was 1936 or 1935.
That would be in Kuprianov Straits.
And you wrote it?
Are you familiar with Kuprianov Straits?
I wrote it, and my teacher sent it to the... He used to subscribe to the Christian Science Monitor, and
then
he sent it to them, and they published it.
I didn't start school until I was 8 years old, because my
Australia,
father kept us
Ireland,
home until Scotland. He could... He had a house built in Afognak.
You know,
so three of us would start school at the same time.
What kind of house do you live in? Do you live in ice houses?
I skipped 1 year because I could already read by then. My mother was teaching me.
For a long time. The pen pals, they call
she never had that much education. See,
no,
I think she dropped out of school and she's in the fourth grade.
I had a picture of one of the girls.
Because her mother was having so many children.
If we find a copy, we'll send you one.
To be...
Yeah. There might be something.
The second mother,
to
the kids that were born.
My husband's son works.
I couldn't name all of them, but anyway, there was 13.
She's an attorney. And
what was your birthday?
What was my birthday? August 6th, 1918.
About that time. So
He went to work for Senator Magnuson, who's now dead. Then he worked for another senator. Now he has
I was married when I was 18.
And he's
George Hoffman.
Housing, something to do with housing. He finds housing for low income.
Was that in a Fognak?
And, people who
we got married in Kodiak.
Buildings
we went to the Justice of the Peace, Judge Naughton.
Why don't you
I think there's some Naughtons
to the
up in Kodiak yet.
Downtown and yes.
Then we, my cousin Carl Pioman had,
and,
his father
sure
had a herring saltery plant in Raspberry Straits.
I think, why do I want to know? I know I wrote it.
When I got married, that's where my husband and I we lived there for 5 years as watchmen. We lived there year-round. My two boys were there.
Oh, yes, we were talking about
then we came down to Seattle in 1941, November 7th.
The miles, maybe 10, 12 miles, started from Back Bay.
And December 7th, Pearl Harbor was hit. So
that had boats used to put
so
their,
I've lived
their
here ever since.
To Fognak.
My
if he came to a Fognak two boys live
here.
Load of wood.
They're married and have
we had
families.
Two stoves.
Two wonderful, wonderful boys. I'm proud of.
Going. And he'd have these blocks of
then
wood.
Then George and I were divorced
to meet
during
when
Second
he came
World
to the
War, and
front of the town.
I was single for 4 years.
And brought
I
had
a book.
We'd roll them up the beach.
Then,
roll them up the
then I married a Swedish boy. His name was Wacko Lindbeck.
Then there was a Von Schiele.
He died in 1958 in Seattle.
Then where?
Then I was single for 4 more years.
Then
I married.
Then there was a fog.
Met Van and we
and
got
then
married
the Gregory
in
of Cinefont,
1963.
Not Cinefont, that was my grandfather.
So married. Van works part time downtown. I also work part time.
Yeah.
I've retired from three different jobs.
You were in a Fognak.
More than that, I guess. I used to work part time when I was married to Lindy during Christmas or Easter in stores when they needed extra help. But for 22 years, I drove special ed bus
to
children, special ed children, the deaf and hard of hearing.
You couldn't see Letnik, but there was
that was a life. I enjoyed driving, and I enjoyed the children. I always liked
a family
kids.
Lived there.
The
I retired from that
Necrosos.
After 1 year. Yeah. We had all this snow, and I was down
they
on the
came into town when there was
downtown
a dance,
and
when we'd have a
busy
dance,
street,
were musical.
Trying to fix
quite
the chains on my tires. They were flopping and making so much noise. I thought, what am I doing? This has to stop.
And we'd have a dance.
This is going to be my last year of driving school buses. I love the kids, but the driving was getting Seattle traffic.
We danced.
It's terrible now, as you know. It's just too many cars. And when I first started driving, it used to take me, let's say, for example, a distance of
me walk home with them after
15 minutes.
Time.
Then it took me like a half hour. You know, we were going so slow in front of the traffic.
What do you remember about going to school in Fognak?
Really, we had a three-room schoolhouse.
Religion.
And we walked in the snow and the ice. I don't remember how many children
later,
there were.
Like
school,
in January 7th was Russian Christmas.
We had the first grades. Like
these times they used to go around from
first,
house
second,
to house.
First, second, third. Then you went to intermediate, what they called.
Songs.
And then there was a higher grade of the kids who were
Easter,
in the 8th, and 9th, and 10th. And that's as far as the grades went in a Fognak.
It was getting daylight, so we'd go from house to house, changing eggs.
Well, at recess, we used to go, there was a little hill by the school. We'd go sliding down this on sleds or on boards or paper.
They used to put it in coffee cans, like?
Christmas time, they had they always put on a program.
I loved Kulich.
it was like Christmas,
was,
you know.
Was Father Gerasim there?
I was
always
there. Yes, Father Gerasim was there. He and my grandmother were friends. Whatever.
I think Louise has a picture of us.
She'd
doing some minuet dance
I would
with Mickey, you know, Marie Von Chili. We always called
together.
Her Mickey.
My grandmother could speak German.
I don't have. I don't think I have any pictures of that. But
and you know they.
And I have some pictures of the schoolhouse in Fognak, the old schoolhouse.
I mean the English
speaking school.
They built, then they built a new schoolhouse in Aleutown.
I don't think I could.
I don't know if you.
But
where the graveyard was and the church, facing Letnik was a. That section of town was called Aleutown.
There was nothing to do but walk along
this
the beach.
This is where the Saratines
lived. The girls had a sewing club.
I have some pictures of.
While we go to Chichinov's house, Nadia Chichinov, you know, Godfrey.
In a fog neck. I'll show them to you maybe after we're doing with this.
Glenn.
Do you remember who your teachers were?
Mother was my one
my
of
first
my
teacher was Enola Van Chile.
Her house.
My second.
With sewing club.
Well, maybe she taught me 2 years. Then I had a
crocheting.
Miss Squalls.
But we'd go for
Q-U-A-L-L-S.
In the evenings.
Then there was Benson.
Father Grassam.
Now, this is Mr. Benson.
Evening, just to check and see what the young kids were doing.
He and his wife went bear hunting.
All the kids.
This is his wife, and she's in her 90s.
And we came around the bend.
She was also my teacher. She lives in California somewhere. A couple years ago, she was trying to contact her old pupils. She wrote to Rudy and to Betty.
No, he would mention it.
I never did write back to her.
That was wrong. We shouldn't be doing that.
Then there was a teacher called Puet.
So he went around helping people who were sick.
One year,
my grandmother just adored him.
He was there by himself. Then the second year, his wife came, Marion Puett.
He was a good speaker. I mean, he got up there and...
Those were my last teachers, I think.
Something he wanted to make a point with. He had his...
What was that last name?
Puett. P-U-E-T-T.
My,
I don't remember what his first name. We all called him Mr. Puett.
Uncle Arthur.
Mr. and Mrs. Puett. When he was there by himself, he lived in
the choir and light their
candles. Petellans had a big house, and there was
altar
a big family, and they had an L-shaped house, and the L-shaped house was an apartment.
You don't hear these things much anymore.
Teachers usually lived there.
But they have altar boys here. I go to the
Mickey and Louise and I and
but they have
some of the Nelson boys would go to his house. The boys would chop wood for him. And we would cook dinner, and I would make fudge. That was a big deal. things we cooked was, I remember mashing potatoes and corned beef hash. You know, you mash them all together.
Rika and Phoebe and Sonia so
put it in the oven with crumbs to brown it. With onions, had onions in it too. It's good. I still make it.
And they sell pirushki. Do you know what those are?
I wish my sisters were here. They could tell you more. And they
ground beef and onion. And they deep fry.
After I was through at school, and I only went to the ninth grade.
That was Sunday dinner. Then
my brother and I went to live on the island with my father and my grandmother. She lived with us. So from the year 18, I got married that year in the summer.
Now, what else?
So what else can I tell you?
Who was your grandmother that you just mentioned?
Yes.
My grandmother, her name was Marie Elizabeth.
Well, I can't speak it very closely. I was named after her. But the Russian that spoke, that's
earlier you made reference to Aleutown. What do you remember about how the village was laid out and where did you live?
Well, we lived in the middle of
I didn't understand.
But the
village. My father and his mother and my mother all spoke Russian.
To start off with, there was a little bay called Back Bay. Now, Fog Neck, you know, is facing the open ocean.
Do you understand?
You could see Marmot Island.
Well, I wish
out there,
I had learned more. I mean,
that would be the,
when we went to school, we were to speak
the northeast side.
The
measurements the length of a fog neck, but I forgot. When I was in the eighth grade, we had to write for English. We wrote a theme about the history of a fog neck.
My mother could speak a little of it.
And if you really want to know, it's published in the Christian Science Monitor. And if you go to the library, you might find it.
And they start singing, Unugu, Unugu.
Do you remember what year that was?
You know, I remember it. When Ingeluk, my mother, had...
I think it was 1936 or 1935.
It wasn't cataract. It was a very, very deep where your eyes cloud over.
I wrote it,
like,
and my teacher sent it to the... And he used to subscribe to the Christian Science Monitor, and he sent it to them, and they published it. And I had letters from all over the world, from Australia, Ireland.
They were doctoring, and they had her put...
No one from the Europe.
Sugar in her eye.
Ask, writing, do you live in... What kind of houses do you live in? Do you live in ice houses? So I corresponded with them for a long time. The pen pals, they called
them. And rolled it up.
Do you still have a copy of
her? Do it, but she
no, I'm sorry to say, I don't have any. I had a picture of one of the girls.
And tried to remove that film.
Well, if we find a copy, we'll send you one.
Okay, yeah. There might be something. I have never, my husband's son works.
See,
he and his wife graduated from Yale. She's an attorney.
And she called her English.
Alan was going to be a school teacher, history school, but he couldn't find work at that about that time. So
one of the songs
he went to work for Senator Magnuson, who's now dead. Then he worked for another senator. Now he has his own office downtown.
But after the dance is over, I said,
he's in housing, something to do with housing. He finds housing for low-income. And
you mentioned
people
shamans.
Who are homeless.
Do you remember
they find
who those
buildings where
were?
They can stay.
I know.
Alan said, "Why don't you go to the library downtown and look at the section where those Christian Science Monitors are?" And I'm sure you'll find that article in there. I keep putting off going. I think, I don't want to know. I know I wrote it.
I read about where they do their. Natural medicine.
What were the other parts of the village called?
Oh, yes, we were talking about the village. Roughly, to estimate the miles, maybe 10, 12 miles. Started from Back Bay, a nice little harbor where people that had boats used to put their boat, like Father came to Fognak. If he came to a Fognak with a load of wood, we had two stoves in a Fognak that we had to keep going.
And
he would have these blocks of wood, and us kids used to meet him when he came to the in front of the town and brought all these logs. And on the beach, we'd roll them up the beach and roll them up to our house, stack them up.
So what is the most... Happy.
Then there was a Panchiti store, and then my grandmother's house, and Larson's house.
Then we could see.
Then
living on
then
the
you went a little
fine.
Further. The Fog, Petellans,
playing on the beach,
and then the other Grigoriev, Sinifont, not Sinifont, just my grandfather.
But when we went into a Fognak,
the Babushka Pereskovia
lived. Seeing our friends that we went.
Then there was
the
Pyoman's house. You went a little ways, and it was Larson's. If you were in a Fognak, you saw where Larson's house was.
Moving all our stuff back in the
near
house.
Near the Russian Orthodox Church.
We'd pack
then,
up
then there was a graveyard. Then you took a bend, a curve, and that area was called Allertown.
In the fall,
it had a beach, and from Allertown you could see...
In the summer when we made trips to Fognak,
you couldn't see
Letnik,
but there was a little settlement just across from Allertown.
Which would be maybe once a week. And that was fun, too, because when
a
I
family
had
lived
there.
Nekrasovs, yeah. They came into town when there was a dance, when we'd have a dance, because they all were musical.
Had a
by ear, they played
liked, and I'd see,
the banjo,
the
mandolin,
Donnie
the guitar.
Was one of them.
And we'd have a dance in the Tichinov's house. They had a
the
dance hall.
Was close to him, to us.
And we danced. Shadishis,
Frost,
Polkas,
you know, Richard Frost, Tom Frost. They were our neighbors in the Fognak.
I used to love those dances, but
and
my father used to come with us, and he'd make me walk
Louis
home with them after a certain time. I couldn't stay till the end.
I forgot this happening. There was a house behind us.
Oh.
You know, living in the Fognak,
oh, the Russian
school,
church,
our chores were.
We, they really...
At least three
stayed
of us
with their
to the
culture,
well,
the Russian culture,
to bring water,
religion,
to put in barrels in our
Christmas. They had the
Kalidoro, we called it. That's Russian. It's
church services were later, like in January 7th was Russian Christmas.
We had two barrels.
Now, one of these times they used to go around from house to house with a star, singing songs.
We had the river in front of our house, or a creek.
And Easter, of course, we went to church until 3 o'clock in the morning.
One barrel was for washing clothes.
Then it was getting daylight, so we'd go from house to house, exchanging eggs
and we chopped
having ham and potato salad and kulich. That's a Russian sweet bread made in. They used to put it in coffee cans, like. It had a round dome with frosting over the top.
Oh yes, we had a garden.
I loved
kulich. My grandfather had a big potato garden.
Was Father Gerasim there while you were there?
Yes, Father Gerasim was there. He and my grandmother were friends. Whenever she came to town, she'd go to his house. I would go with her.
We grew them.
And they spoke Russian together.
I have pictures of that garden.
My grandmother could speak German, Estonian, Russian, and English.
His garden would be in September.
And you know, they
when school started.
Just like my father, they didn't go to an American Russian, English speaking school. They taught themselves.
But
I could never do that. I don't think I could.
Potatoes was like
but
Gerasim found one.
It was
minus bigger.
I still think of him.
So your grandfather.
As kids, used to go for walks along the beach. There was nothing to do but walk along the beach. Us girls had a sewing club.
Do you remember any
for a while?
Difficult or hard times?
Chichinov's house, Nadia Chichinov. You know Godfrey?
I don't.
Greg.
Glenn?
Glenn.
I had a sister. Godfrey. Yes. That was a
his
time.
Mother was my one of my Godfrey. Best friends.
Catherine.
We'd go to her house.
I was the oldest of Rudina's Catherine.
And
she died when she
with
was
sewing
eight.
Club.
And
embroidering and saying.
We were at a birthday party at
but we'd go for walks then after
no it wasn't
in the evenings.
I don't remember whose birthday it was, but
and
she was walking a picket fence.
Father Gerasim would go for walks also in the evening just to check and see what the young kids were doing. One time all the kids had cigarettes and we came around the bend and here is Father Gerasim.
He was called
those cigarettes went up
but
he could tell.
So
in church that next Sunday we're all feeling really guilty because we know he would mention it, and he did.
Examined her and tried to diagnose
That was wrong. We shouldn't be doing something.
He thought
like that.
Maybe it was appendicitis.
He was good. He was a good priest, though. He went around helping people who were sick.
In those days,
my grandmother
just
adored him.
Even in Kodiak, there wasn't a doctor.
He was a good speaker.
So
I mean, he got up there and
hoped the good Lord would.
If it was something he wanted to make a point with, he had his staff, you know, and it would go bang, bang,
too much
up there in the pulpit.
That was a sad time for a while.
My,
but you know, people heal.
Uncle Arthur was a.
That's past, but you think those everyone's. I can't look at pictures.
No, not busboy. What do they call them?
I've gotten so sentimental.
They go up to the choir
and
light their candles.
Look at these old time pictures.
Altar boy?
Altar boy.
I can hardly look at my brother's picture now.
I'm getting senile.
No.
You don't hear these things much anymore.
My sister's curled his hair.
They have altar boys here. I go to the Russian church once in a while, but they have it at the Easter service, especially
in
the last 3 hours.
Leaders
no
in the village who
seat, no seating. You stand. I stand till my feet have tingling. They'd be getting numb. Some of the older people,
I don't remember anyone being
older
in charge,
than me,
actually.
Would have some chairs along the wall so they could sit. Mm-hmm. Rika and Phoebe and Sonia still are very active in the Russian church here. They have the Russian bazaar. And
I don't think I want to.
Ben and I go to the Russian bazaar for the food. We have pirog, and they sell
pirogi.
If you know, do you know what those are?
Parties.
They're yeast dough, and they fill it with ground beef and onion.
Ready for school,
and they deep fry it.
Singing in the loud
and
voice.
The pirog is made with that.
And the dogs barking.
A Sunday dinner in the Fognak.
Well, the next morning they
if you had the salmon. My mother used to make it with corned beef. Did you ever have pirog?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Many times.
Yeah. What else?
We blamed another man, an outsider who was in town.
Church services in Russian?
Yes.
So you spoke Russian?
Well, I can't speak it very fluently, but I understand it. But
the Russian that spoke that
his son killed him. They were all
the Russian language that they use in the churches. All no. the words that we don't understand, like from
that
the Bible,
was time. That was
quoting the
no,
Bible.
Talking about the bad times. That was really spooky. They lived
something I didn't understand.
We wouldn't want to walk past.
But
that
my house. Father and his mother and my mother all spoke Russian at
you
home.
Know, just like
so yeah, не могу хорошо говорить, because я понимаю, you know. Do you understand any Russian?
Alcohol.
Very, very little.
Very, very little.
Alcohol.
Well, I wish I had learned more. I mean, as kids, when we went to school, we were to speak English
what
only.
What was it called? It was made from
because the children from Ayutown, like Pestrikovs and...
It had a name, but I forgot.
Sertins, even Andersons, Nick Andersons, they could speak Aleut. And
so
my mother could speak a little of it. No,
well,
at the last Kuniak meeting here, they had the dancers,
came,
the Aleutic dancers.
Yes.
And when they start singing,
Armstrong,
Armstrong. You know, I remembered it. And then when Ingeluk, my mother, had vision problems with her eyes. It wasn't cataract,
away,
it was a very rare disease where your eyes cloud over, it looks like cataract, quite...
Aho.
And in
at first they blamed him, but it wasn't. It turned out it wasn't him.
People, though,
his son confessed.
There was a couple of people who used to be shamans, we call them. And they were doctoring, and they had her put
many years.
Sugar in her eye, and rub it. So trying to rub this white surface off.
Here, so.
Also, hair. You took hair and rolled it up. I never saw her do it, but she told me she did it.
Toward
you put this in your
house,
eye and rubbed and rubbed and tried to remove that film. Eventually, when she came down to the States and had cornea transplant, she could see.
Garden.
But she had a big reading glass, you know, magnifying glass, that she called her Ingela. That's Aleut for eye.
That was rid of it.
And one of the songs these dancers sang I enjoyed them. We sat real close to them at the meeting.
But he planted flowers, all kinds of flowers.
But after the dance was over, I said, that's I, isn't it? And she said, it is.
He died finally of cancer.
But she asked me if I could speak Aleut, and I said, no,
when we saw him coming down the street, we were kids.
You mentioned the shamans. Do you remember who those individuals were?
I know who he was.
It's not contagious.
But I can't remember his name.
As kids,
we were afraid of him because he thought he was going to bewitch us or something.
Did you hear stories of the flu epidemic? I believe that was
the
year you were
born. They still have shamans in some country
I
read about where they,
I don't know much.
They do their natural medicine.
About the
but what they did to my mother's eyes,
eruption.
That was wrong. It just aggravated her
my
condition.
My grandmother went up
help.
The year of the Katmai erupted, and
the population
that must
of
have been terrible because as kids we heard.
At one time I heard it was 500.
2 days
and again
of
I
darkness,
heard it was 200.
And
if I took a piece of paper and tried to remember everyone who lived in every house, I could probably get that.
Wrong, the chickens.
Did you ever ask anyone what the population of the Fognik was?
I don't remember. But they took a lot of...
No, I've,
maybe
heard, I've heard different numbers, though.
Have
I've
you?
Heard 500.
Yeah. On a big boat.
Mm. Ask Nick. He might know.
Mm. I even forgot the name of that boat. It's been a long time ago.
So
but
what is the...
To me, my
most happy
grandmother, my father and mother,
time you remember in a Fognik.
No, going into a Fognik from the island.
Wasn't married yet.
Then we could see all our friends. You know, living on the island was fine.
Nobody
we just did a lot of playing
how
on the beach and riding in dories, rowing, going after wood, going after seagull eggs. But when we went into a Fognik, it was just seeing our friends that we went to school with.
And then the ash in the Fognik area.
We were excited about moving
deep.
All our stuff back in the house.
We had gardens.
We had a house
to clear
there.
Off the ash.
We'd pack up in the spring to go to the island and pack up and unpack in the fall when we went back to a Fognik.
You know, you could walk along
in
the
summer when we made trips to a
Fognik
for the mail, we had to go into a Fognik to get our mail from the post office.
which would be maybe once a week.
We'd look.
And that was fun too, because when I had the pen pals, I always had a stack of mail.
And when we saw smoke, those mountains in the valley of 10,000.
Happy time. I had a couple of boys I kind of liked, and I'd see, you know, and you would see them,
and you could smell the.
Johnny Nelson was one of them.
The acid is kind of burning in your nose. We were always afraid it would be another eruption.
The Barrett stuffs lived close to him.
But I don't think that happened, not since 1912.
Frost, you know, Richard Frost, Tom Frost,
heard?
They were our neighbors in the Fog Neck.
No, I think that was.
And
that
behind
was
us was a.
Yes, it was. Very
Louis.
I guess they had earthquakes.
I forgot
too.
His last name.
You know,
there was a house behind us.
When it was
you know, living in the Fog Neck, after school, our chores were.
During the 1964
two buckets apiece for at least three of us going to the well to bring water,
about it
to put in barrels in our.
I was married. I'd been a widow.
Kalidora, we called it. That's Russian. It's like a hall, big hallway before you go into the main house and the end of the house. We had two barrels filled, always filled with water.
I wasn't even out of bed yet. On the radio came
the one barrel was that we had the river in front of our house.
This earthquake in Anchorage and
that was
and the tidal wave came
clothes.
And took the
one barrel was for washing clothes.
Fog
Neck
away and
food
Kodiak
drinking.
Was a big tidal wave.
We chopped
wave,
wood and carried
Kodiak,
wood.
The boats out. You know, I almost went crazy. My mother and father and my
those
brother and my
were,
sister were
the kids
there.
Were busy. They all had their
and
chores.
And you couldn't call.
Did you have
you
a garden?
Oh, yes, we had a garden. My grandfather had a big potato garden.
They made contact with
in a Fog Neck.
Kodiak
our garden were at the island. We never bought potatoes or carrots or rutabagas or beets or
and of course we were
cabbage. We grew them.
Did you know him?
No.
He
was
I have pictures
of
that garden
for years.
But when my grandfather dug his garden would be in September, early September when school started.
Okay, that they
that
had
was fun.
Hours notice.
Digging
so
for potatoes. I have grandchildren and I started
kayak.
Planting potatoes
but
here and there. I have a garden now.
Gone.
But
a boat
to dig for potatoes is like finding gold, you know. Oh, I found one.
And
mine is bigger.
So your grandfather that you're talking about is Xenophon?
Xenophon, yeah.
One of the Larson boys, he had a hair.
Do you remember any difficult or hard times?
Called SOS. He was out in the water when
childhood was
paddling. He was
very
coming.
Carefree.
No, but
I had a sister that died. That was a sad time.
You know, the boat's gone. And
my third Catherine.
There weren't, surprisingly,
I was oldest. I was reading this Catherine, and she died. When she was 8.
I don't remember how many there were, but
and
not even 20, I don't think.
We were at a birthday party at Chichinov's, and it wasn't Chichinov. I don't remember whose birthday it was, but
to bed
she was walking a picket fence.
Hearing aid on because
and fell on her stomach,
after.
And she must have had some internal injury. But
did you,
you know, there was across from the Fog Neck, there was a Dr. Parker.
They moved
he was called Dr. Parker because he was
and,
a vet, and he raised blue foxes like my father did.
Shortly before
he came over and
because
they sort of examined her and tried to diagnose what was wrong. He thought maybe it was appendicitis.
When my daughter was little,
I went up
to see them,
sick,
and they were already in
no
an apartment next to Frieda
in those days. There was no planes or
craft store.
And
then they,
even in Kodiak,
then
there wasn't a doctor.
One,
so you just hoped the good Lord
and ice pool. No, he had 70,
see that you died,
and he
went to heaven.
He bought them a little house.
Didn't suffer too much
down in Kodiak.
That was
close
a sad
to
time for a while.
Bakery. And they
but,
were
know,
living in that
people
house
heal
when the tidal wave came.
That's past.
They escaped
think
the Kodiak.
I can't look at
but
pictures,
the house,
old pictures. I've gotten so sentimental that I could sit and look at these old
they
time pictures.
Some of their stuff is all muddy. And God,
I can hardly look at my brother's picture now. This picture,
with my brother,
my sister's curled his hair.
When my mother, when my father got really sick, he died in Anchorage.
What do you remember about leaders in the village who
and stay with my sister in
who
California,
was in charge for the village?
I don't remember anyone being in charge, actually. Oh, we had a bed. I forgot about this. I don't know why you should mention it. I don't think I want to talk about that. Some of the families, a few of them had drinking parties, and this was in the fall. I know we just had gone into town ready for school, and we could hear them singing in their loud voices and the dogs barking. Well, the next morning they found who was it who died? It was a Grigoryev, and they blamed another man, an outsider who was in town, killed this. His name was Grigoryev. What was his first name? But it turned out the son killed him. They were all in a drunken, you know, party. He served time, I think. That was an eerie time. That was, now you're talking about the bad times. That was really spooky. They lived close to us. We wouldn't want to walk past that house. You know, it was just like walking past the graveyard. Yeah.
Do you think alcohol was a problem?
Oh, yes, it was alcohol. Yeah. They made their own... what was it called? It was made from potato water. It had a name, but I forgot.
So what would happen if someone committed something?
The law enforcement from Kodiak came, who was Carl Armstrong was sort of a law enforcement person in Kodiak. He came, and then they took the son away, and they took this Finnish fellow away. Leonard Aho. At first they blamed him, but it turned out it wasn't him. The son confessed to it. And the son served so many years in prison. I don't know what happened. I was shortly after that I was down here. So. We had one, the last person that lived toward Back Bay, he had a house. His name was Friedling, and he was of Finnish descent. I don't know when he came to Apognak, but he used to plant a big garden, everything, potatoes and rutabagas, turnips, and us kids would go there, you know, and sneak in the fence, have his rutabaga. Then we found out how he fertilized his garden so we would never kill it. But he planted flowers, all kinds of flowers, and we could always go and ask him for a bouquet of flowers. He died finally of cancer on his nose. Now, when we saw him coming down the street when we were kids, we were afraid to go too close to him because it might be contagious. Mm. You know, that it isn't, it wasn't, it's not contagious, but as kids we were just a little afraid to go near him.
Had you heard stories of the flu epidemic? I believe that was the year you were born, but...
I heard stories about it, but I don't know much. Yes.
About the Katmai eruption.
Oh. That... My grandmother went up the year the Katmai erupted. And that must have been terrible, because as kids we heard about 2 days of darkness, and the animals acting up, you know, they knew something was wrong, the chickens. I don't remember, but they took a lot of the
residence in Mafognak on a big boat. I even forgot the name of that boat. It's been a long time ago. But it seems to me my grandmother, my father and mother, no, my father wasn't married yet. This was 1912. I really don't know where they were, but my grandmother talks about how afraid she was. She used to kneel down. She said, I used to kneel and pray. Why did I come to this godforsaken country? Oh. You know? And then the ash in the Fognak area, you know, was deep. When we had gardens, you had to clear off the ash. So it wasn't very good for growing vegetables or anything. There's no nutrients, I guess, in it. But, you know, you could walk along the beaches in the Fognak on our island and find chunks of pumice stone that came from the Katmai. Mm. And then every once in a while, we'd look from our island, it was west, I guess. And when we saw smoke, those mountains in the Valley of 10,000 smokes, you know, would spew smoke every once in a while, and you could smell this acid. It was an acidy that kind of burning in your nose. We were always afraid there would be another eruption there. But I don't think there has been, not since 1912. Mm-hmm. Have you heard?
No. No, I think that was that was the big one.
Yes, it was very big. I guess they had earthquakes too. You know, when it was erupting.
Were you living here during the 1964 earthquake?
Yes.
Do you remember hearing about it? And
I was married. I'd been a widow. I was married. Then I got married in 1963. I was working at Wisefield Jewelry up here on California Avenue. And on the radio, I wasn't even out of bed yet. On the radio came this announcement that this earthquake in Anchorage and Kodiak and the tidal wave came and took the Fognak away, and Kodiak was a big tidal wave, knocked out Kodiak, took the boats out. You know, I almost went crazy. My mother and father and my brother and my sister were up there. And you couldn't call, finally Chuck Turner with Kodiak Fisheries was called, and then they made contact with Kodiak through radio phones. And they announced how many people were hurt. And of course, we were friends with Chuck Turner. Did you know him?
No.
He was superintendent for Kodiak Fisheries for years. He called us and told us that our folks were okay, that they had an hour's notice, so they went up to the mountain at Kodiak. But my father's boat was gone. A boat Kodiak Fisheries had called Frida, that's gone. They never saw it again. And Larson's, that wasn't Pinky Larson, but one of the Larson boys, he had a hair lip and he had it fixed. His boat called SOS. He was out in the water when he heard that Cataloy was coming. But that was the last they heard of him, you know, the boat's gone. And There weren't, surprisingly, many casualties. I don't remember how many there were, but not even 20, I don't think, that got caught in the wave. But my mother was afraid. She wouldn't go to bed without her hearing aids on because she wanted to be sure to hear anything after.
Did you... parents lived the rest of their lives in Kodiak?
No. They moved away from the island in shortly before the tidal wave because I went up. I forgot the years.
when my daughter was little, I went up to see them, and they were already in an apartment next to Frida Nemo, close to Kraft's store. Then my brother Rudy won the Nenana ice pool. You know, he had $17,000, and he bought them a little house down in Kodiak, close to Naughton's Bakery. And they were living in that house when the tidal wave came. They escaped okay. They got up to the mountain, but the house was off its foundation, and they salvaged some of their stuff. It's all muddy and dirty. Then they went to live with Frida and Emo and with my brother and my mother. Then my father got really sick. He died in Anchorage. My mother would come stay with me and stay with my sister in California. Finally, she... Well, Alaska is not prone to earthquakes, but they happen there. Also, Seattle is on a fault, you know, earthquake fault. We could have a bad one. We had a bad one here. When was it? My daughter was 16. 15, 16. It was in 74. I won't quote the dates because I might give it to you wrong. My daughter was 16 when we had this bad earthquake here. A lot of chimneys, brick chimneys fell apart, and the schools were closed. Buildings downtown, bricks fell off. Were you in Anchorage? Were you born when the earthquake happened up there?
No, actually, I was living in Bellingham when it happened.
Oh.
Yeah. But I remember my mother was in the same situation as you. She didn't know what had happened.
What happened to her family, yes. Mm-hmm. But they were okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, is there any question I didn't ask you about a Afognak that you would care to talk about?
I can't think of any right now. That's why I asked you. You asked me questions, mm-hmm. and maybe it would revive all these things that went on. Life there was pretty... I don't know, maybe the same as it is now, where people made their living fishing, and that was about it. They went trapping in the winter, sold their furs. They sold their furs to Charlie Pyoman, who was my father's uncle in the Afognak. He had a general merchandise store. He had one son, his name was Carl Pyoman. That's how their living was. They fished and hunted, mm-hmm. ate lots of duck, and we ate a lot of duck, mm-hmm. and salmon, salt salmon, smoked salmon. Father made the best smoked salmon. Dried salmon, yukala, it is called. It's Aleut for dried salmon. My grandfather that lived in Afognak, he had this special smokehouse where he dried his yukala, made smoked salmon, and outside he had racks where he dried the fish. And my father dried it for the foxes. We fed the foxes. He had big, big tanks that he salted fish into. Where you see us feeding foxes, Rudy and I were feeding foxes. When he first started fox ranching, they were all loose. Then he decided to put them in pens. Let's see, Charlie Pyoman was my grandmother's brother. He went to Afognak first. Then he had another brother who went up
John Pyoman, who used to be the mailman, and he, from a fog neck, used to go in by boat to pick up the mail from Kodiak. He drowned around the rocks in Kodiak. There was some people with him, but I don't remember who they were. That was before my time. But in the fog neck, I think Pyoman's store is still standing, and their house is... someone bought their house. It's still there because we saw it there. And I think Nelson's moved into it. Now, does anyone at all live in a fog neck now?
I don't think so. Just nearby, the Russians are living, but not right in the village.
Then they had a sawmill, too, by just outside of a fog neck. Near Plano, Macrina's Reef was where you could always get a good load of salmon. When my boys were little, I was down here already. They came down, they were 3 and 4, and then Pearl Harbor happened, so we stayed in Seattle. But I went up with them, and my father took us beach sustaining. He didn't have to, he did it just for food for us. And for the boys to see how you caught salmon with a beach seine. And they were so excited with the salmon in that seine. They rushed in the seine with their clothes on, of course, trying to grab the salmon. They're so slippery. Mm. George remembers it now. I think he was 6 or 7 years old. But we had some rough weather going back and forth from the island when southwest wind would blow, white caps in the bay, in a fog neck, and March was a bad month because of the wind, southwest wind. Fog neck faced open, you know how it is, it's all open ocean. Northeast was the bad, was the, when the rain came on. We walked to school in the snow. We wore dresses, our knees would be numb. We wore boots to school. I remember going in the snow this one time, my sisters and we passed my grandfather, my mother's father, Derushka, called him. He was shoveling snow. By the time we got to the school, I would say it would be maybe 9 blocks away. Someone came running and told my brother, my uncle Arthur, Your father died. He died of a heart attack right there, shoveling snow. But when you tell kids now how far we walked, I didn't go to the school in Aleutown because I was already past that age, but my sisters did, and that was a long walk from the middle of a fog neck around there to the new school in Aleutown. And to walk in this, actually the weather isn't too cold around Kodiak. The Japanese current comes along the coast and kind of warms it up. Fairbanks and Anchorage have the cold. Where do you live?
I'm from Port Lyons, but I'm going to college in Anchorage right now.
So. Oh, you still live in Port Lyons?
Yeah, I'm going home here in a couple, next week.
I've never been to Port Lyons. I flew over it to my cousin, Willie Hall, when we went up. He took my oldest son and his wife and their daughter. The daughter is interested in genealogy, going back her roots, you know. She wanted to meet where her father was born. So Willie took us over Whale Pass. We could see Port Lyons. We could see a fog neck that way. Then we went down Kupiana Straits, you know, where father's place was, we'd see Port Bailey, we went over, and we landed on the beach, but that was so hard because when the earthquake and the tidal wave happened, the land sunk. Our island used to have was higher, with a beach higher, and when we landed the plane, it was high tide, but there was maybe this much, 5 feet beach. the island's sinking, but no one lives there anymore, and so it's sad. Grass and trees and...
when were you there?
A year ago in August. Oh. August 18th was a year. We didn't stay long. Willie was... He's very busy in the summers. He had another trip to do, so I think we stayed there maybe for half an hour. George wanted to stay longer and reminisce, but it's...
Did you make it to Diggafognak?
No. No, I didn't. No, but Louise's brother's daughter was up there, Jimmy's daughter.
Rachel.
Rachel, mm-hmm. Yeah. You met her.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty girl. Yeah.
Well, you should come up and go to Diggafognak when they have groups of people there.
I know. It's... I would like to. I tried to talk my husband into going, but he says, I've been there once, I saw it also. But to me, it has sentimental memories.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time, and I hope maybe you'll think of some other things after we leave, so if possible, maybe I could contact you again. And
yeah, are you staying at a special place where you have a phone? Oh, I have a piece of paper. Where I could, oh, I you have to sign my guest book. Oh. Am I off? Are we off? Oh.